Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 183 of Getting It Out Podcast. The song you just heard was Holy Roller by Band of Bastards out of Austin, Texas. It's on their new record, Delete Repeat, out now on Redacted Records. These guys are current and next members of And You Will Know Us by the Trail of Dead and Sparta, among others. But they're playing hardcore punk. I don't know that any of those bands were hardcore punk, but they say they're lifers, so they must be. I'd actually like to have a conversation with these guys and figure out how this band came about. Maybe we'll do that on a future episode. Maybe we won't. Anyway, this new record, Delete Repeat, is worth a listen. I burned through it pretty quickly. It's just about a half hour of fast and mostly traditional hardcore punk rock. So check them out everywhere. Speaking of mostly traditional hardcore punk rock, on this week's episode of Getting It Out Podcast, I've got an interview with Josh Jerk from New Jersey hardcore band School Drugs. We're talking about their new 7-inch Visitation and how it's part of an LP called Funeral Arrangements, out now on Indecision Records. Well, half of that's out now. You'll figure it out when we go through it. But let's play another fast New Jersey almost hardcore band, but probably thrashing crossover. Let's play some Hot Zone with the Getting It Out Podcast intro music and then get into the episode.
Yeah, what's good, all you bitches and bitchettes? It's the illustrious Hot Zone, back at it again with another podcast intro. He said, oh, you want to do a podcast intro for the Getting It Out Podcast? I said, oh, shit, I got to write a rap first, don't I? He said, no, you don't got to write a rap first. It's a hardcore podcast. I said, all right, I think I can maybe make that happen. Let's see what we can do. Kick it. Make family out of friends, make friends out of enemies. Peace to my family, make friends till they bury me. All the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We be getting it in, where you getting it out? I said all the places we've been, we're never sitting it out. We'll be getting it in, where you getting it out? Get in and out! Alright, motherfuckers, you're in the right place at the right time. Rest in peace, J Money, and LFTW forever!
Okay, so here we are, another episode of the podcast. It's the end of July. That really upsets me. I think I mentioned on a previous episode that when we get in the middle of the summer, I start getting bummed that the summer's coming to an end. It makes me want to be outside more. I tried to go outside yesterday and run, and I did. I ran pretty far. I ran 10 miles, and that's the farthest I've ran in quite a while, quite a few years. And it hurts a little bit today, but it's okay. That's the good pain, right? And I always went out and mowed the lawn. That made that a little more difficult. But, you know, that's what I did this weekend. And so now you know. I also have been watching a bit of the Olympics. Do you watch the Olympics? I don't know why suddenly I'm watching swimming and volleyball. I'm watching swimming, and it, like, gives me anxiety when I see that Team USA is not winning these stupid little races. And they're not even final races. They're just, like, heats to build up to who gets to be into the last races. And I don't care, but suddenly I do, apparently. Suddenly it bothers me that America's not winning more stuff, and that's stupid. It's not stupid. It's just fun. It's just competition, I guess, is what I'm getting at. I like that type of sporty competition, always have, and always will. There's no getting it out of me. I am a jock. So there you go. That does not go well with the rest of this episode. The rest of this episode, of course, is about School Drugs, a hardcore punk band out of New Jersey, who you may have heard a couple of weeks ago when I closed out the show with their song Plastic Promise off of their Visitation 7-inch. If you missed that, you can hear it right now. I'm going to play Plastic Promise, and then I'm going to jump in to the interview with Josh. Still,
yep.
All right, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So you, where are you at right now? You're in New Jersey, right?
I am in Bradley Beach, New Jersey, in my garage.
Where is Bradley? What would Bradley Beach, New Jersey, where, like, what, where about in New Jersey is that? For so I'm in Pennsylvania, so I'm not that far off, right? So
yeah. Like, I mean, depending where you are in Pennsylvania, if you're closer to Ohio, then you're very far off.
Yeah. Well, I'm Lancaster, so half about about an hour and a half from Philly.
That's like halfway.
Yeah.
Now, do you say Lancaster or do you say Lancaster?
Lancaster.
Oh, it's a little mix of both.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Are you originally from Lancaster?
No, I'm originally from York, which is just right down the road, but it's okay. Pretty close. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Right.
I am originally from Manchester, New Jersey. Its biggest claim of fame is that it's very close to Lakehurst, New Jersey, so much so that they use the same, like, post office and other, you know, government facilities. And Lakehurst is most famous for being where the Hindenburg exploded.
Oh, okay. I was wondering why you're referencing that, because I didn't know what Lakehurst, New Jersey was. But when you say that, then I know the Hindenburg explosion. So
yeah, and it's nobody knows where Manchester is, so I either just say it's by Lakehurst and people go, oh, Lakehurst, that's where the Hindenburg exploded, because I have so many friends that are privy to historical aerospace disasters. But it's
right,
either
right.
That or I just say I'm from Toms River, home of the 1997 World Little League World Champions. It might have been 1998. I don't fucking know. I haven't seen the giant sign that they hung to the entrance of Toms River in a very long time. So it's one of those two.
Well, I got two things I can relate to there. Being from York, Pennsylvania, the only thing that you can really say to get somebody to know where you're talking about is you just go, it's like 45 minutes north of Baltimore. That's the easy one. And then the other thing I wanted to say is that Little League World Series, like you mentioned, I went to college up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, where the Little League World Series takes place. And people take that very seriously. And I've always found it extremely sad that Williamsport, Pennsylvania hosts this event where people come, where little kids come from all over the world to the United States, and they go to Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which, trust me, is a total shithole place. And it's just a very funny thing. And it's funny that I don't know how you create a Little League World Series champion, but I don't know. I guess Toms River did it.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm like, Little League, like, why do you give that much of a fuck? Like, they like spit shine this fucking sign like every week. It's immaculate. They make new versions of it every couple years to make sure that it doesn't fade away, because people that are visiting Tom's River for the first time really, really need to know this is the home of the Tom's River Little League World Champions. And as far as I know, Little League is like somewhat of a big deal because I guess a lot of them like continue to play baseball throughout their lives. Like from what my very, very limited knowledge on the world of baseball, it's like, I guess there are a few major league baseballers that came up through winning like Little League things. I don't know.
I'd imagine there has to be. I'm not a baseball person myself, never have been. But I feel like the people who are into baseball are really into baseball. So it makes sense.
Well, I've never been a sports guy of any fashion that wasn't the extreme variety.
Right. Well,
and even then, it's like, are you watching the X Games in 2021?
No.
The X Games exist in 2021? That kid just landed a fucking 1080. That was pretty cool.
Did he? I didn't see that. That is very cool.
In front of Tony Hawk. I mean, everybody's like touting it. It's like, that's so cool. You landed like the 1080 in front of Tony Hawk. But like, I watched the video and he looks a little like, fuck you.
Yeah, he's got to be a little bitter.
You know, like, I'm sure he's stoked. I'm sure he's stoked. He, you know, gave the kid a hug and, like, said, like, cool, whatever. But, like, you know, there's got to be a little fucking part of Tony Hawk that's like, eat shit.
Right.
Go to hell. You fucking little prick.
For sure. Yeah, you think it's got to be eating at him a little bit. But that's the bitch of getting old, too. It's just not being able to do shit. I was laying on the ground today stretching because my hip hurts. My hips hurt for the last couple of days. And my daughter was just like, I don't want to say she was making fun of me, but she was just like telling me that I was old. And, you know, I'm 36, about to be 37 in November. I'm not old, right? I am old in her, you know, compared to an 8-year-old, but part of me just wants to argue with her. Like, but she's also right. Like,
you probably woke up and did something stupid that day, like woke up and got out of bed.
Right. Yeah.
So, but, you know, it's really your fault.
Yeah, I should have stayed
in
bed all day.
Think about it, you know, living and existing just through everyday life.
I've hung on too long.
It's going to make your hips hurt.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, Josh. Well, hey, since you did grow up in, where'd you say, not Lyndhurst, not the one place, but the other of
Manchester,
New Jersey.
Tom's
Manchester.
River.
Yeah, there you go. New Jersey. And you didn't get into Little League, but you obviously did discover punk rock and hardcore at some point. When did that happen for you?
That happened probably 2003, 2004-ish. I probably started listening to music that my parents were not privy to in like 2003, and then went to my first show ever in 2004.
What was the show?
That show was Kill Your Idols, Death Cycle, Crime and Stereo, Spark, Forward to Death.
That's a very good lineup right there.
Not in that order, but
no, back then
that was the show.
Damn, I can tell you right now, I have records from every single one of those bands probably right in front of me on this shelf, and that definitely sounds like that era.
Very,
and it definitely sounds like New Jersey. Even though I know some of those bands are, some of the bands are Maryland, or one of them's Maryland at least, and two of them are New York, but was that your initial introduction to any kind of live music, or were you going to other things before that?
I mean, like, you know, my parents dragged me to like a couple concerts here and there. Like when I was, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, I remember my dad was like, I have tickets to see this band tonight and my friend can't make it. You're coming with me. And I was like, I want to do this or that. And he was like, yeah, you'll thank me for this when you're older. And I'm like, I don't really want to go. And then years later, I realized that my dad dragged me to see The Who.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, I'm not the world's biggest Who fan or anything.
Neither am I, but that's pretty awesome.
You know, I was like, yeah, that's, at least he didn't take me to see fucking Bob Seger.
Right. That might be all right too. I don't know. I'm coming around on Bob finally.
Bob Seger's got some tracks. I'm not gonna front on Bob Seger.
Right.
that's very cool, and it's both of those shows first are cool. The Who and Kill Your Idols. The Who. I feel like that's one of those bands that your dad is right. You're gonna be glad you went to that. There's a lot of bands like that from those eras that aren't around anymore that I wish I had gone to see when they were around and when I could, because now there's so many fucking bands I wish I had seen. I just passed up the opportunity because I didn't feel like it at the time, and now they're dead and right. There's no chance. But anyway, so you first get into your first real big exposure, Kill Your Idols, Crime and Stereo, Death Cycle, Forward to Death, The Spark, and I don't remember if you said anybody else. And that's like I said, that's a very cool early 2000s show. And there's a couple different sounds going on there. Which band did you latch on to most in that show in particular? Which sound?
Well, Mike, the reason that I went to that show was because my cousin sang for Forward to Death.
Okay.
As long as I can remember, he had always been in bands. He was like, if I really want to go there, the first show I went to was to see Three Against One in 1998, the same year that the Toms River Little League won the World Championship. You may remember.
Yeah, of course. Who doesn't?
Or it might have been the year before. Who knows?
Right.
Anyway, like my mom and my dad and my aunt and everybody, like, we're going to go see, you know, Andy's band play. And then, you know, they bring me to the skate park and I just wind up running around like a fucking, you know, 9 year old or however old, seven,
yeah.
7 or 8 year old, whatever. I'm just like running around on the fucking ramps and whatever, like not knowing what's going on over here. But then like growing up, it was always like, oh, my cousins are into like really cool music and they look cool, and like, you know, when I was younger, my cousin Brian always had like, you know, spiked fucking hair and like bondage pants and like these cool shirts that I didn't know what the fuck they were. So like growing up, they were like less like cousins and more like older brothers to me. Like Brian lived with us for a little while and whatever, and Andy had always been in bands, so I was always like, you know, like, take me to your show. And I think it wasn't until I was at an age that it was like, okay, like, I'm going to take you to the show because you can probably act like a normal human here at this show and, like, stand over here and watch and then, you know, whatever. So I begged him at, you know, fucking Thanksgiving or whatever one year. And he took me to that show specifically. And then after that, it was like, oh, no, like, now I'm actually, like, into this.
That's very cool, and it's really cool to have that connection too. I remember seeing Forward to Death a couple times, not many, but a couple times. I actually think I have a screen printed Forward to Death poster somewhere in my garage. But I really like that Death Therapy record. They were a cool band.
Oh, yeah.
That was a time where there was a lot of stuff coming from New Jersey. Maybe just because I was in Pennsylvania that it seemed like that. But those mid 2000s years, that shorecore thing. Combined with it was like Shorecore and Wilkes-Barre. It was like two scenes that were all over the place, even though it was probably just proximity, but I don't know. It just seemed like it was taking over at the time.
The Shore style, as it were.
Yeah, yeah. Which I gotta be honest. I was never super, like, I wanted to see those bands, right? I remember one show was like Tear It Up, Little Rascals. I don't know who else, but Not So Fast probably came later, But I remember Tear It Up and Little Rascals playing a show, and I love those bands. But what kind of, and this doesn't make sense now, but it kind of bummed me out how many people they brought with them, and they just kind of took over the show. Like, not in a mean way. It was just like they were playing our scene, but it was like we were at their show. It was, you know what I'm saying? It was weird. It was like intimidating.
Yeah, those crowds usually rolled pretty deep.
Yeah, they traveled well.
Yeah.
So that was your
like
local
the exact kind of show. I'm sorry.
So that was basically the scene that you were coming up in.
Oh yeah, like yeah. You were like Little Rascals, and I was like, yup. You were like Not So Fast, and I was like, oh, yup. Definitely. Like I remember buying the Not So Fast 7-inch at the record release show.
Yeah, I'm trying.
And
to
like
now.
All yeah. like that was yeah that was those were all like the first shows that I ever went to. You know, like. Little Rascals thing was cool because it was like those kids were maybe like a couple years older than I was, by the time they had like put out a 7-inch and were like, you know, playing a lot. So like a lot of their friends that were going to the shows were also, you know, the same age, and maybe they were like freshmen in high school and I was in like 8th grade. And so I had somebody around my age to hang out with. I didn't have to like keep fucking bothering like all of my cousin's friends and like, you know, like basically like pulling on their fucking pant leg, like I'm here, hi, like look at me. So I had someone to like run around with and, you know, hang out and talk to.
Yeah. How long did it take until you started playing in band?
I found out that that's the like best part of being into punk and hardcore is you just do it. You just go. It, like as soon as you've heard it, you just go and start that band like instantly. So really, I went to my first show and then 3 months later decided to start a band.
What was the band called?
The band was called The Jerks, hence why my name is Josh Jerk.
Gotcha. So you stuck with
which brings me to what's up?
So you stuck with, you're sticking with it. There's a little history in the name. I like that.
Here's the thing. You got to be careful what your first band is, because if your first band is the Asshats, you're always going to be Anthony Asshat.
Right. That's true.
It's whatever your first band is. Like you got to be careful, because it's going to stick with you. It doesn't matter, because even if you wind up being in another band that is more widely known than your first band, there's still somebody somewhere that remembers your first band and still knows you as Anthony Asshat.
You're absolutely right.
If your
right.
first band was the Dickheads, you're going to be Dan Dickhead forever, dude. That's your fault. It's not my fault.
That's what, it's a good point. And thankfully I never fell victim to anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, so like Josh Jerk is not the worst name in the world. I have on occasion referred to myself as Josh Dress, because it turned out that J-U-R-K, Jerk, was, I think, Dutch for dress. I thought that was clever.
That's nice. That's a good way to spin it. So when did when did School Drugs become a band?
Technically, I guess like 2014, and we were a band for maybe like 6 months, a year at most. And it was, in hindsight, it's very evident that like the thing couldn't continue with the people that we were doing the band with. It wasn't going to go anywhere. It wasn't going to like do anything. Meaning we weren't going to ever put anything out. We weren't going to record. It was just fucking dead end. So like our guitarist at the time kind of like lost his shit and moved to Alaska to become a fisherman, because that sounds like a easy thing to do.
Right.
And I'm like having like flashbacks of like dealing with that entire situation, and I'm just like, we're just mad all over again. Like, why the fuck are you going to move to Alaska? Be a fisherman?
Hey, deadliest catch was basically a recruiting tool. So that's what I think.
Yeah,
like
with what fucking work ethic do you think you're going to make it being a fucking Alaskan fisherman? It does anyway. So like that didn't really fucking pan out. It didn't really work, and we just kind of stopped. We kind of called it quits, and then like a couple years later in 2016, Edgar, who plays bass in School Drugs and also played bass in that iteration of School Drugs, hit me up one day and was like, "Yo, do you want to like do a band again sometime?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, why not?" And we were gonna do something that was like weird and maybe kind of like Butthole Surfers-y. And then when we like got together to try to write shit and play shit, we were like, let's just fucking call it School Drugs again. Let's just do that, but with, you know, not Alaskan fishermen.
Well, where's the name School Drugs come from? What is that?
We had a song that was just called School Drugs, and the song was about Adderall, Ritalin, Vyvanse, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Edgar suggested it. We were doing the thing that everybody does. Fucking 12,000 names, not a single one is good. So off the cuff, he was just kind of like, what about School Drugs? The song's called School Drugs. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine. You know, you get to that point where you're like, I'll pick three letters. We'll figure out what it stands for later.
Right. No, well, it ended up good. I think it's a cool name. I think it catches the eyes. It makes people wonder what the fuck you're talking about. The way you just described it, it's a perfect explanation, because I know what you mean by those type of school drugs. So from the beginning, it sounds like, well, listening to your past records, it sounds like you kind of had a direction that you wanted to take this band. What was the intention you started this? Was there something you sat down and said, here's what I want it to sound like? Or was this just what it sounds like when you guys got together?
Mostly the latter. Mostly it's just kind of what's happened, what's come out from the stuff that we're all collectively into. You know, I'm pretty heavily influenced. It may come as a shock to the listeners at home that I'm a big fan of the 80s hardcore, specifically from the California location.
I don't want to say that's rare at all, because of course it's not. But for a New Jersey band, but that's not true. All right, I'm getting off track, because basically that's the direction that you're influenced, or the music that you're influenced by, is kind of something that seems to correlate with New Jersey hardcore in a way. New Jersey hardcore has like six different sounds, right? Or all right, let's just boil it down.
Sure.
Let's boil it down to let's narrow it down to like two. There's like beatdown New Jersey hardcore, and then there's like shore style New Jersey hardcore, which is more reminiscent, like you mentioned, of like California West Coast hardcore, early, you know, 80s. What draws you to that side? You and I both know there's a big difference between like 80s New York hardcore and 80s California hardcore. Why do you think you prefer the West Coast style?
I mean, I know what I want to say, but I just don't want to. I don't want to sound like a fucking dick for saying it. It's like, it's more musical. It's more musical, I kind of mean like there's more melody there. There's a lot more like,
sure, yeah.
I think there's a lot more musical diversity. I almost said sonic diversity, and then I heard it in my head, and I went, God damn, that sounds fucking stupid. And then I said it out loud, and here we are, all experiencing the same thing now. But there's just like Black Flag sounds to me. Black Flag sounds different from Dead Kennedys. Sounds different from TSOL. Sounds different from Circle Jerks. Sounds different from fucking just keep going, like all the way down. And then you go years later and you go, well, aside from Gorilla Biscuits, Nerve Agents are the best fucking band on Revelation Records. And you can all fight me at the next show about that. That's I'm totally up for any kind of fist fight you want to get into over that. I'll die on that hill.
Nerve Agents are very, very good. But I have to say I'm more partial to Redemption 87, but that's, we don't need to fight about it.
It's fine. People have existed for a millennia being wrong.
Yeah. I like it.
But yeah, like, and that's not at all to say that like there's no fucking melodies in New York hardcore. Like, of course there is. There's plenty of bands where that is the case. Like, there's plenty of New York hardcore bands that had choruses. There's plenty of New Jersey bands that had choruses and parts that were somewhat sung. I mean, New Jersey, go listen to Lifetime. The fuck is more chorus and melodic-y than that? Maybe not so much on the chorus end, but like, it doesn't get much more fucking melodic than that.
Right, right. Well, that's another thing that I've always found interesting is New Jersey has always had these poppier side. I don't want to say poppy, you know what I mean, but like Lifetime, the Ergs, I don't know who else is in that category for New Jersey.
The best band from New Jersey.
Who's that?
The Ergs.
The Ergs? You know, there's one Erg song that I love so much, and it's probably the most popular. I don't know though, because I don't know what people like about the Ergs. What was it? Is it Pray for Rain? I don't
probably
know. Whatever. Yeah, but that's one song from the Ergs that I love. Even though it's all good. Anyway, but like, so I guess what I'm trying to do is say there's so many different sounds that somehow come out of New Jersey, which I don't feel like you have that in the surrounding states, including my own, Pennsylvania. I feel like you kind of know what you're going to get from Pennsylvania. You kind of know what you're going to get from Boston, likewise. But New Jersey kind of mixes it up. It goes heavy, it goes melodic, and it goes kind of traditional when you guys fall in more so in that range. But you've put out a couple records now, and the latest one you put out or are putting out is with a West Coast record label, right? Indecision Records.
Yep.
How did that come about?
They did the Modern Medicine LP too.
Yeah. How did you get hooked up with them?
Sent an email.
Nice. That's
sent a fucking blind fucking email, you know, like shot my shot. And it was like, hi, we are banned from state looking to put out a record, hopefully with your label.
Yeah.
And they were into what I'd sent them, you know, sent it out to plenty of fucking places and either got, you know, a no or, you know, what's even worse than a no, I got no response. But,
right.
Of the ones that did respond, Indecision was pretty stoked on it. And so we were like, cool, let's do it. You know, I was privy to Indecision from, like, the first time I heard anything from Indecision was the Over My Dead Body 7-inch.
Okay.
Which I was super, super fucking into. Because at the time I was straight edge and I was like, yes, I will never give up. I'm straight edge. Yes. And then they fucking had the other record with the cover of God Save the Queen. And I was like, this is fantastic. Yes. I'm here for all of it. And I think they're now reissuing same 7-inch. That's awesome. So yeah, like when I first heard it, I wasn't in anything that I'd be like looking for a label, but years later realizing like, oh shit, that's Indecision. And like they did the Suicide File stuff and they did, the fucking, Death by Stereo stuff and, whatever else that I am blanking on because I'm trying to think of things that they've put out. And then more recently was like, you know, checking them out and was like, yo, Skullcrack fucking rips, like Soulside fucking rips. Like they're putting out cool stuff now.
Yeah.
And yeah, just fucking send them a fucking email, man.
That's very cool. Cause they're a record label that I've always liked, because they've had a lot, of diversity really too. They're very like New Jersey in that they kind of have every different style of hardcore, and that's the way I like it, right? I like things heavy, I like things melodic, I like things traditional, whatever. And Indecision's always done that pretty well. I didn't even know that they were still in the game until recently, but and I was surprised to see that you guys have a couple records out with them now, and you're doing this whole thing. But you did that last record, was it Modern Medicine, is that what you said? How that was how long ago?
That was 2019. I think September of 2019.
Okay, so not too long ago. Were you able to get out on the road, support that, do whatever? How does School Drugs operate as a band? Are you guys doing tours? Are you just doing shows? What's your?
I mean, the old classic. We will play, you know, which is true. We'll play fucking anywhere. I've said it before, there's few things cooler than like some random person from some random state, some random town being like, hey, do you want to come play here? And you're like, yes, we would like to come play random state, random town. Unfortunately, like by the time the record was out and we like had planned to do the sort of tour for the record, this crazy fucking thing happened. This like totally like hasn't happened in 100 years. Absolutely fucking apeshit like disease just started going around and everything had to close. Like I don't know if you were around for it or not, but like it was fucking wild.
What?
It's still here apparently too. It's like it's still happening. But for real, we were like that March we were supposed to go do, you know, a string of days out to like Indiana and Detroit and then like down south and like back up again. And, you know, of course that couldn't happen. And it was like fucking literally like three days before we were going to leave to go do it. We were still like maybe we can still do it. And like hearing myself say that right now is like, you fucking idiot. Of course you couldn't do it. Why would you think that you could go do it? It's a fucking pandemic. And it's like, dude, if you remember when shit started, it was like, yeah, we'll be like locked down for a week. Maybe two, and everything is going to be fine. Like, no one had any fucking idea whatsoever. And if anybody wants to act like they knew all along it was going to be like this, you didn't. Because nobody fucking... You don't know anyone alive that's fucking seen some shit like this. So yeah, like 2 to 3 days beforehand, we were like, maybe we can just do, like, you know, the closer dates and whatever. And then the next day, we were like, we can't do this. Like, we got to pull the whole thing. We can't do any of them.
So how do you feel like you were able to get that album out without being able to play shows on it? Like, do you feel like you were able to reach people still, or did that fuck it all up for you?
No, I mean, those were just a few like days that we were going to go out to, you know, hopefully, you know, places that we haven't been before. But right. we had already played New York and Philly, and we'd gone down to Virginia a couple times. We'd gone up to like Boston and Connecticut and stuff. So we'd done, gone and did the sort of Northeast area, and played a few things that weren't in our home state. And this was just sort of our first venture out further.
Right.
And, you know, I wish we had been able to do it, because that would mean that this had not all happened. But, you know, I wanted to do it just because, like, it's cool to play to people you've never fucking seen before. That's fun. It's of fun course. To meet new people and check out new places and fucking play with bands that you never would have heard before.
Well, did the pandemic and this last year and a half speed up this new material? Is that why this is coming now, or was this our? Or do you think you would already be on this track if it weren't for that?
It gave me a lot of time to sit in this very same garage and fuck with a bunch of stuff, and then like kick it back and forth over, you know, group chat to like everybody. Here's the things. Here's the song. Blah blah blah. Here's this part. Here's this part. And then eventually, like once everybody was vaccinated, or we could figure out a safe way to do it, get together and start working on this material together. But it gave me the time to kind of think about everything more, to plan everything out, because I wasn't doing fucking anything else.
Right. How much of the writing for the band do you?
An amount of it.
Is that like? Are you talking like you're writing riffs? Or you writing lyrics? Like, what? That's what I mean. Like, what part of the writing? You doing drums? Or are you the whole damn band?
I do an amount of it.
All right, that's fair enough.
It's like, you know, everybody adds what they add, and I do an amount of it.
Okay, that's fair. I'll accept that answer. But so what you got coming out? I guess this Friday is the official release date, right? For Visitation, the 7-inch.
It is. Depending what your schedule is.
Well, I know that, I'm sorry. This Friday, as in when we're talking, 2 days from now, July 23rd.
Ah. See, these things are fun because I get to talk in the future tense of things sometimes.
No, this will come out.
It's been out.
Yeah, but when this comes out, when this conversation comes out, it'll be Monday, so we'll only be a couple days off. So the record is...
So this past Friday.
Yeah, right. This past Friday is coming out. It came out. And it's... I was a little surprised because at first I thought it was just a 7-inch. But it's kind of way more than just a 7-inch. It's called Visitation, but it's part of... you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. But it's part of an LP called Funeral Arrangement. It's three songs.
Correct.
It's the first of four installments. It comes with a customized 45 adapter. It's way more than just a 7-inch. So explain to me this whole concept, this whole four EPs to make an album. What's happening?
So for anybody that's ever seen, have you ever seen the movie American Movie?
I don't think so.
Okay. For anyone that has seen American Movie, there is a part where Mark Borchardt is explaining what Coven is, and and whenever I think about what Funeral Arrangements is, I hope that I sound like Mark Borchardt explaining what Coven is in American Movie. There's like four fucking people that are going to get this reference that have seen that fucking movie.
Right.
But they're going to appreciate it. They'll appreciate it. And I'll find a torrent or something and send it to you. It's it's one of the best films that's ever been created. The best documentary of all time.
I'm unfamiliar.
But anyway.
But go on. Yes.
But anyway. Funeral Arrangements is an LP in four parts. The first part is called Visitation. The second part is called To Be Announced at a Later Date. The third part is called To Be Announced at a Date Later Than the Second One is Announced. And you can extrapolate what the fourth one is called. But the idea behind it was to break the LP up into smaller pieces that were sort of more manageable for us to deal with, that were easier for us to like be able to spend time on and write and fucking rewrite and not have to worry about getting through 10 songs as quickly as we possibly fucking can. It's like, we only got to do 3 songs right now. We can take all the fucking time in the world that we want to produce these things. Like, we can take all the fucking time that we want to, like, get everything exactly how we want it. And that was majority of the reason for why we're breaking it all up.
Okay, so are all these songs, are they recorded at different times? Or are they yet to be recorded? Or, you know, so you just have these 3 and then you're going to go and do the other 3? And, like, is this all separate occurrences?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
Interesting. So then why is it an LP? Why not just have
because
4 different EPs?
Because the whole thing is like, if I gave you 4 quarters,
yeah.
How much money do you have?
Well, that's $1 if I'm doing my math right.
That's kind of the idea. Is it's like it's not 4 separate things, it's one whole thing. It's just like it's all of the same idea, it's all of the same theme. It's all written, I guess, for a lack of a better term, like in the same style.
Right.
So
okay. Yeah.
it all belongs together. It's not meant to be like everything is written. It's not necessarily recorded yet, but it's all written and was written in the same mindset.
I got you. Okay. So this one, well, before we get into just this one, I have a couple more questions about the whole thing as a whole, just for my curiosity. So is this all going to be brought to us by Indecision Records? Are they signed on for all 4 EPs, or are you going different labels?
Yeah, for some unknown fucking reason, yes.
Yeah, that's good.
for some crazy fucking reason, Indecision has agreed to indulge us in this absolutely ludicrous fucking idea.
Well, they seem like the most agreeable record label I ever heard of, so good for you for
unbelievably so.
Okay,
indecisive they are not,
right? So at the end of this, is there plans to make it an actual LP, or is this always going to remain 4 separate EPs that make up an LP?
No, at the end it's all going to be collected as an LP. So it's like the 7 inches that we're putting out, it's limited. There's only, you know, however many that we're pressing of each one.
Yeah.
I can't remember how many they are off the top of my head, but however many 7 inches there are, like, we're never pressing them separately again. So like once the whole thing is done, we're only going to ever put out the LP version of it.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. And I noticed that this one, like I said earlier, it comes with the customized 45 adapter. Is that kind of just like a bonus? Here's like an incentive to buy this record, and do you plan to do something like that for the subsequent releases?
The idea was like I wanted to come up with shit that I'd never seen before, and as a record collector, I wanted to come up with shit that I thought would be fucking cool to receive from, you know, a band, like
something
that when you open up the box and you find it inside, you're like, oh shit, like this is in here too, like awesome, like. I've said before that one of the best parts of ordering a record is not just having the record. It's when a label throws you an extra 7-inch, or, you know, they give you a bunch of fucking posters, or they give you some fucking pins. Like the extra shit that winds up coming in the package is like what really makes it, like that kind of surprise of like, oh shit, this thing too. Cool.
Yeah.
And yes, there's going to be something for all of them.
Nice, very cool. I agree with you on a lot of those things, and it's the extras are a lot of fun. And the
things that you don't agree with me, you can go fuck yourself. No,
no, I like that too. I like your stance on just that part. So with this, with Visitation, this is, like I said, 3 songs. I don't have the track list in front of me, but I know it's Can't Slow Down is like the second track, right?
Yep.
And what's I gonna say about that one? Oh, that's the one with guest vocals from Lifetime's Ari Katz. That's got to be a big deal for you guys. How did that one come about?
We played with Lifetime like 2019, I think, maybe 2018. And Ari lives fairly close to me, so like, you know, I just see him kind of around at the coffee shop, at the record store, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, being a Lifetime fan, I'm like, the before knowing the guy, I'm like, holy shit, it's Ari from Lifetime over there, like, right, looking through the R&B section, like, oh fuck, I'm gonna go say hi. I can't I can't do it. You know, and but then it's like I'm friends with people who are friends with him, so I'm like, yo, introduce me to Ari. And then it's like, Ari, this is Josh. Josh, this is Ari. Hey, man, how's it going? Really cool to meet you. Yes, that fanboy thing was always fucking there. And then very cool, he wound up actually liking my band and, you know, stuck us on a show. And when I wrote Can't Slow Down, I had his vocals in mind for that part.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, like, I will give you this story. So I demoed the song in my garage, and I was like, fuck. Like, I can't think of anyone else doing this fucking part but Ari. Like, I need that exact fucking sound. So while demoing it to send to everybody else in the group chat, I did, like, my best Ari impression.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't do that. Like, I can't do my impression of him to actual fucking record. Like, I can't do that. So I was like, okay, maybe we can get someone else to do something. And she always came back. So like, no, like, that's how the fucking song is supposed to sound. It's got to be that. But I was also like, am I going to ask him to fucking do this thing? Like, I don't know if he would, like, if he would want to. Like, I don't know if I can do that. Like, so I was just like, fuck it. Just send him the fucking email. Just send him or fucking text or whatever the fuck it was. Like, just ask him. So I asked him, and he was like, yeah, sure.
And I was like, you got a good track record with that stuff.
Well, that's ignoring the, like, 40,000 other things that I've had, you know, gotten nose to, you know. History is written by the victors, my friend.
That's right. But it never hurts to ask.
Listen, the list of people that I have asked to do things is whew. But the real good part about this is, like, he needs to hear the song. So I have to send him the song. So I'm like, do I send him this demo that I have of me doing an impression of him?
I hope so.
I don't have any other version, so okay. So I send it over to him, and then he's like, cool. Like, yeah, I like it. Like, definitely down to do it. I'm like, all right, cool. So I, like, go over there. I, you know, the day that we're, like, decide to record this thing, and I pick him up, and we're driving up to New Brunswick, and he's like, hey, can you play the song just so I know what's, you know, what I'm supposed to do? And I was like, yeah, no problem. And I'm like going to play it on my phone, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, I'm going to sit with him while he listens to me do an impression of him. Like, this is like beyond meta at this point.
Yeah. Did it come up?
And I, like, I brought it up because of the, you know, neurotic tendencies.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, so, that's me just, like, you know, doing, my best you. Yeah. And he's like, okay. You know, it's that thing where it's like, you're the one that thinks it's weird. You're the one making it weird. Not he doesn't give a shit. You're the one that's making it weird, Josh. Stop. And I realized, like, okay, he doesn't actually, like, he doesn't think it's weird.
Right. Well, it doesn't.
In thinking about it, I think it's weird.
It makes sense, though. When you just gloss over it, it makes sense to do it that way. And you know what? He still agreed to do it, so it couldn't have been that weird.
No, it was awesome. You know, that's like that's the second take that we fucking did, and it was like, done, good.
Right.
Let's go. The whole process took 15 minutes.
That's awesome, and it's a good feather in a cap for a New Jersey band, I'd imagine, or any band really. Lifetime is weird by a lot of people, but I know specifically in this area. How do you feel like, or maybe you don't, but I think you will. How do you feel like School Drugs is different on Visitation?
Oh, I think it's darker for sure. Like, I think the whole thing is going to be darker than anything that we've done so far.
Well, is that the kind of intention with the obvious artwork and the title Funeral Arrangements? I mean, Visitation. It seems like it's meant to be.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I feel like, you know, everything has gotten darker as we've gone on. So maybe after these four we fucking break, and then the next record sounds like fucking, you know, Steal My Sunshine. I don't know. That'd be cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, we put out a record that sounds like fucking Ace of Base.
little New Radicals, Len. Yeah, I like it. Go that direction. That's coming around again, right?
Yeah. Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson. They're all fakes. We'll kick their asses.
What is that from? Is that, was that like
that's
New
from
Radicals?
The New Radicals song. Yeah. Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson. They're all fakes. We'll kick their asses. Like,
That's a good call out. Yeah, who's going to argue with?
All right.
The new
bold,
radicals
at that
were real.
Time, that was a bold fucking move.
Yeah, unfortunately, it didn't work out for them in the long run. I don't know how it worked out for Courtney Love and Marilyn Manson either, but they're in their issues.
Fair.
All right, so this record officially out 2 days from now and also 3 days in the past on July 23rd on Indecision Records. Yeah. What is the timeline? Well, tell me, did you release Plastic Promises? Is that the song? Is that the one that has been out there for people to hear?
Yeah.
How's that going over? How do you feel like the reaction?
Good. Yeah. I've yet to get any death threats over it or anything.
Wouldn't that be more fun, though? At least one?
Maybe at least one. I mean, the fucking reasoning for why somebody would be that upset about that song, or really any fucking song, is like, I mean, that, yes, that would definitely be interesting.
That'd be exciting.
Yeah. I haven't had anyone tell me that they fucking hate it. I wish they would. I mean, if you hate it, let me know.
No, I don't think you're going to get that.
Down below.
I don't think you're going to get that. I think, you know, people who are clicking on a School Drugs track probably know what they're getting, or at least have an idea. And I think that I think what you guys are doing with these, you know, four EPs to make an LP is really cool, and it makes me super interested in it, right? I've seen other bands do similar things before, but this is the first version I've seen like this, and I think it's a good idea. I think it's very cool.
Thank you. I've similarly, like, I've seen other bands do it, and it's like, it's a singles collection, or it's, you know, a compilation of, like, this record, and this record. But it's like, every once in a while, somebody is like, it's an EP. And I'm like, no, it's not an EP. If that's what you need to call it, go ahead and call it a fucking EP. It is not an EP. It is one part of an entire thing.
Hey,
it's fine. Like I said, it's way easier to, I guess, kind of understand, but like, there's also not really much to understand. But yeah, I would say that I've never seen anyone do this before, but it's actually such an old concept that nobody remembers.
Well, there you go. That's good enough, right? That's basically the same thing then.
Everything old is new.
Yeah. All right. So what kind of plans do you guys have? Or do you have any, are you guys comfortable going out there playing shows all over yet? When this comes out 2 days from now, 3 days in the past, is there record release shows? Is there tours lined up? What's the itinerary for School Drugs going? And to throw on top of that, when do you anticipate the additional parts of this LP?
In the future.
Right.
It's definitely going to come out in the future.
There you go.
So when it's out, it'll be the future.
It will be. It has to be.
And if you're listening to this now, you missed the record release show, which would have been, if you're up to date with your podcast listening, it was yesterday.
Ooh, very nice. Was it good?
So, yeah, it was, all right. So that's the first one that you can use. If the show was like so, and then here's the second one. If the show was really good, dude, it was fucking awesome. Best show we've ever played. Couldn't fucking believe it. So many fucking people, like four people got spin kicked directly in the face. There were stage dives every 3 seconds, you know, at least four hot Carls.
Ooh.
And then if the show was bad, feel free to use this take, dude. You know, you do what you can, you know, sometimes you just get out there and, you know, you do your thing and hey, if they're there, they're there.
Yeah.
Free to take any of those three takes. I'll let you know, Sunday if, the show was good or not. Just pick the one that you want, based on how good it was.
Okay. Well, I want to throw one out there that you might've forgot, or maybe it was intentional, but you could always blame the night of the week. Like, you know, it was
a
Tuesday.
A Saturday, and yeah. Typically,
a lot of things going
Saturday
on Saturday.
Just, you know,
lots of options on Saturday. You know, people.
There's a lot of things people are doing. You know, they want to get out. They want to have dinner.
Summer. You know, people want to be outside.
It's summer. They want to go to the beach. Yeah. They want to go to the movies. You know, I get it. I want to go to the movies too. you know, I haven't seen Cruella yet, and it's still in theaters. I got to check that out.
You can watch that at home.
Yeah, but it's like $30.
Yeah, that's cheaper than going
to
the movies.
$30 to watch the fucking thing. I can go to the movies and A, watch it cheaper, and B, that's like the only fucking thing I do to go out.
No, but we like, so if you have a family, then you just buy it for $30 because that's definitely cheaper than the movies. It works out for some of us.
Yeah. I'm only thinking about myself in
right.
this scenario. I'm not thinking about like how much it's going to cost for me and my girlfriend.
When we talk about like buying those movies, we're like, holy shit, that's expensive. And like, hold on a second, there's four of us. That would be like twice the amount to go to the movie theater that's right down the street. We can just sit here and do it.
Oh, 100%. And then you're buying fucking popcorn and you're buying fucking soda and like everybody's got to have their own because this one doesn't like orange soda and this one doesn't like Dr. Pepper. And
Yeah, so it works out.
And it's not because I have kids. It's just that, you know, I don't like orange soda, and my girlfriend doesn't like Dr. Pepper. That's not true. She likes Dr. Pepper. Who doesn't like Dr. Pepper? That's ridiculous.
I fear it's the doctor's favorite. What if Dr. Pepper doesn't like Dr. Pepper and this is, you know, that's why they named it that, to get back at him?
How do you think Mr. Pibb feels about Dr. Pepper, though?
I'd imagine he likes him because...
Does he?
Well, they're like the same person.
Dr. Pepper kind of seems like a pretentious piece of shit if you're just, you know, the working man of Mr. Pibb. You've heard it here first. Mr. Pibb is the working man soda.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree there, but I think he would have more animosity diet. And
why?
You know, walking around wearing white. It's just
after Labor Day?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I was going.
Every day is after
Labor Day. Yeah, it is. Except for Labor Day.
Except for Labor Day. It's the only day that's not after Labor Day. If, you know... Time kind of goes like that. Every day is after fucking Labor Day.
That's true. Nobody can argue that. All right. Well, hey, Josh, I don't know that
but
we
I'm just
have...
getting it out.
Yeah, no, that's the way to do it. You nailed it. That's exactly what we're trying to do here. So, all right. So this record's out. I don't, like I said, is there any touring plans in the near future, Drugs?
Yeah, we're going to go down to Fest in Gainesville.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And we're playing Muddy Roots Festival in Cookeville, Tennessee. And then like going out to Tennessee, we're going to do a few different places because it's not close. We might come out to your area, actually. We might come out to like the York Lancaster area either before
I think
or after.
I saw you might be in Skid Garage.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you are or not. I don't know if I saw that correctly, but I think I'm heading that way eventually, which is very cool. That's an awesome spot. It's just totally DIY, hardcore punk stuff. Ran by an awesome guy, MC. It was a great band, Old Tigers. I've had him on a few times talking about that stuff. But all right, so, but I appreciate you taking the time to have this conversation. And I appreciate you reaching out initially and sending the track over. And when I saw your email pop up, I knew who you guys were, and that's why I was so adamant about, hey, let's just do a whole episode, because I was already aware of the band and I already liked it. So glad to hear this new record. Glad to hear, like I said, again, the whole concept is awesome, and glad you guys are doing this. Glad to take the time. I'm glad for so many things, Josh. If you can't hear, but mostly
thank you for agreeing to talk to me.
Yeah.
Because you could have chosen not to. Many people do. You'd be shocked to find. Many people choose to not talk to me every day of my life.
Hey,
I've known for years. Like, fuck that guy. I'm not going to talk to him today.
I'm kind of jealous of that. So some people might like that. But all right. Hey, man. Thank you for doing this again.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
So there you have it. That was my conversation with Josh Jerk of School Drugs. The song you just heard was Can't Slow Down off of the Visitation 7-inch, which is part of the Funeral Arrangements LP on Indecision Records. That song features Ari Katz from Lifetime. You can get that now wherever you get your music. I myself just ordered that 7-inch off of Bandcamp, and you should do the same. Support the artists that you enjoy. That's important. If you want to support the podcast you enjoy, you can go to patreon.com/gettingitoutpodcast and sign up for one of the tiers and support this show. It doesn't require a lot, but it is greatly appreciated. I'd like to thank Josh again for sending in that initial email with the song Plastic Promise that we played a couple weeks ago, which led into an entire episode based on the band and their records. That is one of the ways that you can find yourself on Getting It Out Podcast. I get a decent amount of submissions through email, and there's certain ones that, you know, it's a little odd. I gotta tell you guys this just right up front. It's a little odd when you ask for an interview, but it's okay too. Like, I also appreciate that. That's how I've done quite a few of them. But it's cool when it builds organically and someone sends in a song and it just becomes this dialogue building thing, and it's something I hear that I like, and eventually we just say, fuck it, let's do a whole thing. I don't care if you're well known or not. That's usually not one of the criteria for having a whole episode dedicated to you and your band. But I do want to continue to encourage people to send in their music so I can play it on the podcast. That's what I'm going to do here to end this one. I'll get to that in a little bit. But first, I want to remind you to go follow @getting_it_out_podcast on Instagram and the Facebook page, facebook.com/gettingitoutpodcast. Gettingitout.net exists right now, as it has for the last 2 years, but it's just a page that says it's coming soon. I say this every single week, but it is coming soon. So I guess it just depends when you listen to it. If you listen to this 2 years ago, it's still soon. It's within years, you know. It depends how you judge time. All right. So, like I said, I'm going to end this with a song from a listener submission. And this one is from Chumps, who are based out of Westminster, Maryland and Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. They play pop punk. Sometimes they call it ska, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it. I enjoy it. This song is called Wall Mouse. It's off their EP, Wall Mouse. And you can find it at chumpsmd.com and wherever else you listen to music. Check it out. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye. Wall Mouse! Wall Mouse! Wall Mouse!